Imagine it's Black Friday. You've just spent tens of thousands of dollars on these massive new ad campaigns.
Right, a huge investment for the year.
Exactly. And the traffic is surging, the metrics look absolutely incredible, and right as, I don't know, 500 people hit checkout at the exact same moment, your website just crashes.
Oh, that is just the worst feeling.
It just completely goes down. And the worst part is it's not because of like a malicious hacker or a server room catching fire somewhere.
Yeah, it's usually something so much more frustrating.
Right. It's because the development agency you hired 6 months ago used this bloated, completely outdated plugin to handle your inventory logic, and it just snapped under the pressure.
Yep, it literally just broke.
So, welcome to the deep dive. Today, we are taking a custom-tailored look at how you navigate one of the most high-stakes, nerve-wracking decisions a modern business can make, hiring the right web development company.
And I mean, that crash scenario you just described, it really isn't an exaggeration. It is a very common reality out there.
Which is terrifying, honestly.
It really is.
Yeah.
Because choosing the right partner, it isn't just about getting a site that looks pretty on a monitor, you know?
Well.
It is about building an architecture that actually scales, remains secure, and converts traffic into actual revenue.
Because if you get it wrong,
If you get it wrong, you aren't just losing the money you paid the agency, you are hemorrhaging potential sales. You're delaying your product launches.
and doing some pretty serious long-term damage to your brand's reputation.
Exactly. I mean, a broken, frustrating digital experience basically tells your customers that your actual business operations are broken and frustrating.
Wow, yeah, that's a harsh way to put it, but it's true.
Yeah.
So our mission today is to take this really daunting process and turn it into a clear strategic roadmap for you.
Give you the actual steps.
Right. We are going to break down the mechanics of making this hire so you know exactly what to look for and, more importantly, what to run away from.
The red flags.
The major red flags. And what's wild to me about the source material here is that avoiding that Black Friday nightmare, it actually starts completely offline. Like, it has absolutely nothing to do with searching Google for top-rated agencies or looking at beautiful design mock-ups.
What's fascinating here is that you really have to look inward before you look outward.
Okay, what does that mean practically?
Well, it is a fundamental trap to just jump straight into evaluating vendors, without defining your own operational strategy first.
Like going grocery shopping without a list when you're super hungry.
That is the perfect analogy. You'll just buy whatever looks good in the moment and spend a fortune. So the core goal at the very beginning of this process is to create a focused internal blueprint.
An internal brief.
Right. You have to document your reality before you ask someone else to build a digital reflection of it.
Okay, let's unpack this blueprint then, because it sounds straightforward enough, but what does a terrible internal brief actually look like versus a highly effective one?
I see terrible ones all the time, honestly.
I imagine a lot of companies just write down, we need a modern website that sells our services, hand it over, and call it a day.
Yeah, and a terrible brief is exactly that. It's vague, it's highly aspirational, and it completely lacks any real technical boundaries.
So what happens when you give an agency something that vague?
When you hand an agency a vague brief, you leave this massive vacuum, and they will inevitably fill that vacuum with their own standard off-the-shelf packages.
Whatever is easiest for them to sell you.
Exactly. A great brief, on the other hand, is ruthlessly specific about your business objectives. It outlines your target audience, the exact features you need.
Like specifying if you need a dynamic booking system versus just a simple lead generation form.
Yes, very different technical requirements. It also needs your firm budget range and your operational timeline.
So instead of saying, like, we need an e-commerce store, a highly effective brief says, we need a storefront that handles 3,000 concurrent users, integrates directly with our existing Salesforce CRM, and supports multilingual checkout.
Bingo. Which fundamentally shifts the power dynamic the minute you start taking those vendor meetings. Well, if you walk in empty-handed, you are basically a passive buyer listening to a sales pitch. You are letting them dictate the solution to you.
You're just reacting to whatever shiny thing they show you.
Right. But if you slide that detailed, highly specific brief across the table, you force the agency to react to your specific reality.
Oh, I like that.
You are now evaluating their ability to solve your documented problems, rather than just admiring whatever solutions they happen to be selling that week.
It totally puts you firmly in the driver's seat. And once you have that internal blueprint locked down,
right,
you need to find a team that has actually built this specific kind of digital architecture before.
Which naturally brings us to evaluating their portfolios.
All right. But looking at an agency's past work isn't just about, you know, scrolling through glossy screenshots to see if you like their font choices or their color palettes.
Not at all. The visual layer is just the surface. And frankly, it's the easiest part to fake.
Really?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You need to verify that they have deep experience in your specific industry or your specific use case.
So if you are building a complex B2B client portal, an agency portfolio full of like beautiful but totally simplistic restaurant menus is completely irrelevant to your needs.
It tells you nothing about their ability to handle complex data. And you also have to get your hands dirty with their portfolio.
What do you mean by that?
You can't just look at the screenshots. You need to click on the live links they provide. You have to load those sites on your own phone, navigate through the menus, and see how the site behaves in the real world under real network conditions.
Does it load fast? Is it clunky? That sort of thing.
Exactly.
Okay, I hear you on the testing, but honestly, let's play devil's advocate for a second here.
Sure.
If I'm a business owner, right, and the agency shows me this stunning, blazing fast portfolio, and it works perfectly on my iPhone, do I really need to interrogate them about their underlying tech stack or read through their dense case studies?
Yes. You really do.
But doesn't a beautiful end result kind of speak for itself?
It speaks for today, but it tells you absolutely nothing about tomorrow.
Oh, that's interesting.
This brings up the really crucial concept of technical debt.
Technical debt. Okay, let's define that for the listener.
So an agency can build a site that looks gorgeous on the surface,
right,
by stacking a bunch of heavy, pre-built templates and like inefficient plugins together.
Like digital duct tape.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it works completely fine for the first few months. But a year later, when you try to update the site or scale up your traffic, those plugins start conflicting.
And the site grinds to a halt.
Right. And fixing it costs triple what you originally paid because the foundational code is just a tangled mess. You are essentially paying massive interest on bad development choices.
Wow. Okay, here's where it gets really interesting because we've all heard these technical buzzwords thrown around in pitches, right? React, Django, Node.js, headless CMS.
Oh, yeah, the alphabet soup.
Yeah, and it is incredibly tempting to just treat them as jargon and tune them out. But understanding what these tools actually do completely changes how you evaluate a proposal.
It really does.
So let's take headless CMS, for example, since agencies pitch that constantly these days. What does that actually mean for the business owner who, you know, isn't a software engineer?
Okay, think of a traditional website, like a standard old school diner.
Okay, I'm with you.
The kitchen where the food is made, which is the back-end database, is physically attached to the dining room, which is the front-end design.
They are locked together in one physical building.
Right. A headless CMS severs that connection entirely. The head is the front-end presentation, and you essentially chop it off from the back-end.
Which sounds incredibly violent, honestly.
It does sound a bit graphic.
But from a software perspective, it's highly efficient.
Very efficient. Because now your back-end is just this centralized, secure hub of content. It's like a massive high-tech ghost kitchen.
Oh, a ghost kitchen. That's a great way to picture it.
Yeah, and that single kitchen can seamlessly serve data to multiple different dining rooms simultaneously.
So it can push your product catalog to your main website.
To your website, to your mobile app, to a smartwatch application, or even to like a digital billboard in a physical retail store.
That's wild. And because the front-end design isn't weighed down by all that heavy back-end processing happening in the same place, the site loads incredibly fast.
Exactly, which we know is crucial for modern SEO rankings and mobile conversion rates.
So when an agency pitches building your front-end with a modern JavaScript framework, something like React or Vue, and managing the data through a headless setup, they aren't just trying to sound smart with acronyms.
No, they are proposing a specific modern architecture.
An architecture that allows your business to pivot and scale without having to rebuild the entire website from scratch every 3 years.
Which saves you so much money in the long run. You don't need to write the code yourself, but you absolutely need to understand why they're choosing those specific tools for your business.
And it goes beyond just the coding languages too, right? The source material talks about structural best practices.
Yeah, you have to ask how they handle those foundational elements.
Yeah.
Like, are they building the site with accessibility in mind, so screen readers can properly navigate the layout.
Right, accessibility is huge.
How are they managing security certificates like SSL or data encryption and automated backups?
Because an agency that deflects those questions or relies entirely on monolithic, outdated systems, they are introducing massive operational risk to your business.
Huge risk. If we connect this to the bigger picture, an agency that can't clearly explain their stack or their best practices is simply not fit for a serious business project.
But, you know, even if an agency has mastered React and built this flawless, headless architecture, that code doesn't write itself.
No, human beings have to actually write it.
Right. Web development is a deeply collaborative process. We often picture this like brilliant, antisocial coder in a dark room just typing away alone.
The lone genius myth.
Yeah, the lone genius. But in reality, a great developer who can't communicate is a terrible fit for your business. The technical brilliance of a team is only as valuable as their ability to actually work with you.
That is so true. The technical skills are just the baseline entry fee. The actual day-to-day reality of building a complex digital product hinges entirely on communication and process management.
We tend to focus so heavily on the coding aspect that we forget this is fundamentally a human endeavor.
Exactly. Even the most talented, brilliant engineers will build the completely wrong product if the workflow and the feedback loops are broken.
Which means we have to move past this idea that you're just handing off a list of requirements to an agency and waiting for a finished product to pop out 3 months later.
You are going to be in the trenches with these people.
You really are. So how do you actually vet their communication skills and project management before you sign the contract?
Well, step four of the source text dives into this. You look at their testimonials, but you read them through a very specific operational lens.
So you aren't just looking for generic five-star ratings and praise about how beautiful the site turned out.
Right. You are scanning for specific mentions of responsiveness, proactive deadline management, and conflict resolution.
Conflict resolution.
Yeah, because in custom web development, the scope will change. Unexpected technical roadblocks will inevitably appear.
Something always breaks.
Always.
Hmm.
You want to know how this agency behaves when things go wrong? Do they vanish for a week, or do they proactively bring you strategic solutions?
And you don't just rely on the curated, polished quotes they put on their own homepage, do you?
No, never. You need to ask them for 2 to 3 references that you can contact directly.
Because a 5-minute phone call with a past client will tell you significantly more about an agency's internal culture than a dozen glossy pitch decks.
Exactly. And a reputable company will gladly hand over those contacts because they are proud of how they manage their partnerships.
What about their actual day-to-day tools?
You definitely need to interrogate their project management infrastructure during the interview phase.
Like, are they managing revisions and feedback through massive, chaotic email chains?
We've all been in those nightmare email chains.
Yeah.
And that is a guaranteed way to lose track of crucial details and delay the launch.
So what should they be using?
You want to hear that they use professional agile management tools platforms like Jira, Asana, or Trello.
Something centralized.
Right. And you want a clear cadence of communication. Will you have a dedicated project manager acting as your advocate? Or are you expected to chase down individual developers for updates?
You really have to be willing to ask the hard, uncomfortable questions up front. Like, how do they handle it when you inevitably realize halfway through the build that you need to add a completely new CRM integration?
Yep, the dreaded scope creep.
Exactly. What is their exact protocol for timeline delays? What does the transition to post-launch support and maintenance look like once the site is actually live?
A mature agency expects those questions. They have highly documented processes to handle them.
And an immature team.
An immature team will simply assure you that delays won't happen and scope changes can just be, you know, figured out later.
Which is terrifying.
It is. That kind of vague, sweeping optimism is incredibly dangerous, especially when it bleeds over into how they handle your money.
Which naturally leads to the most delicate part of this whole conversation, the fine print. The budget, the contracts, and the legal reality of this entire partnership.
Fun stuff.
Right. So what does this all mean when it comes to the budget? If there is one overarching rule here, it is that ambiguity is your absolute biggest enemy.
Without a doubt.
You wouldn't let a mechanic start taking apart your car's engine if they just looked at you and said, we'll figure the price out later.
I certainly hope not.
You shouldn't do it with your website either. You need a clear, itemized breakdown of costs before you commit to anything.
A single lump sum quote is completely unacceptable in modern development.
It's just a black box.
Exactly. You need to see the budget meticulously separated out. Like, What percentage of this fee is going toward the UX and UI design? What is specifically allocated for back-end architecture?
Are you paying them for content migration or SEO implementation?
What are the ongoing hosting and server maintenance fees? This breakdown needs to be tied to defined milestones and a clear payment schedule.
So you pay for verifiable progress, not just time spent.
Exactly.
There's another massive detail hidden in the fine print that the source highlights, and business owners often miss this until it's far too late. Intellectual property.
Oh, this is so critical.
You must ensure the written agreement clearly states that upon final payment, your business completely owns the custom code, the design assets, and all of the data.
The hostage situation is very real in this industry, and it happens constantly.
Walk us through how that actually happens.
Well, a business might decide 2 years down the line that they want to bring their development team in-house, or maybe they just want to switch to a new agency.
Right, totally normal business move.
Totally normal. But only then do they discover that their current vendor legally owns the proprietary theme or the custom plugins they built.
Wow. So you find out you don't actually own your own digital storefront.
You have just been renting it from them this whole time.
That is a complete nightmare. But I want to push back on this a bit, though.
Okay, let's hear it.
We are talking about complex project management tools, itemized budgets, custom code ownership. For a small or maybe a mid-sized business trying to protect their margins and lower their overhead, isn't there a very strong argument for just going to a massive freelance marketplace and finding the absolute cheapest developer who can get the job done?
I hear this all the time.
I mean, a website is just a website, right? Why not just save the cash and go with the cheapest option?
We go right back to the concept of technical debt. The cheapest option is almost never the least expensive option in the long run.
Because of the hidden costs.
Exactly. Extremely low prices that seem too good to be true are a major warning sign. It usually means one of three things. They are outsourcing the work to a fragmented team that will be impossible to communicate with.
Right.
They're using bloated, unscalable templates that will eventually break.
The digital duct tape.
Or they are going to nickel and dime you with hidden fees the second you need a minor change.
So a fair price with a transparent structure beats the cheapest option every single time.
Every time. A transparent price from a team with a rigorous process is an investment in stability. The cheapest quote is usually just an investment in future headaches.
You are paying for peace of mind and structural integrity. And if an agency pressures you to sign a contract quickly, or they drag their feet on providing those itemized breakdowns or case studies, you have to be willing to walk away no matter how good their initial pitch
If
was.
they ignore your needs before they have your money, they will certainly ignore you after the check clears.
Which is why this whole vetting process has to be so thorough.
Yeah.
You are systematically removing the options that carry hidden risks.
Yes.
So let's say you have navigated all of this successfully. You filtered out the teams with outdated monolithic tech, the bad communicators, the vague pricers, the template pushers.
You've done the hard work.
You are down to your final candidates, maybe two or three highly capable agencies. How do you safely pull the trigger and make that final call?
Well, the source outlines the final steps here. You pull out that very first document you created, your internal business blueprint.
The brief from phase one.
Right. You line up the competing proposals side by side, and you objectively evaluate which agency's roadmap aligns closest with your original goals.
Who understood the assignment best?
Who offered the most strategic solutions to the specific challenges you documented in that initial brief?
But even after all that rigorous, objective analysis of their tech stacks and their project management software, the text still says you have to trust your gut.
You do. You are picking a long-term partner for your digital growth, not just a coder. Do you actually enjoy talking to these people? Do they explain complex technical issues in a way that makes you feel empowered? Or do they kind of talk down to you?
That's a huge indicator of how the relationship will go.
But even then, pulling the trigger on a massive multi-month contract is terrifying. So how can a risk-averse business test the waters before diving in completely?
The text has a brilliant strategy for this. You run a pilot project, it's essentially the first date strategy.
Like getting coffee before committing to a cross-country road trip.
Exactly. You don't have to start with a complete ground-up rebuild of your entire digital infrastructure on day one. You carve out a small, highly defined engagement to test their capabilities.
What would be a good example of a small project?
You could hire them to build a complex landing page for an upcoming marketing campaign. Have them redesign one critical user flow, like just your checkout process. or pay them to execute a comprehensive technical audit and performance optimization of your current site.
So it's low-stakes proving ground. You get to see how they handle real deadlines.
You see if their project manager actually uses Jira the way they promised in the pitch.
Right. You see the quality of their code and their communication in an isolated environment. You're essentially paying for a small deliverable, but the real value is the operational insight you gain before you commit a massive chunk of your annual budget to a multi-year partnership.
Exactly. You are verifying everything they promised during the sales cycle. I mean, if they miss deadlines on a simple landing page, you know immediately they cannot handle a full e-commerce rebuild.
So let's synthesize this whole journey for you. You do not start by looking at vendors. You start by writing a rigorous internal brief that dictates your operational needs.
The blueprint.
You evaluate portfolios not just for pretty designs, but for functional architecture, ensuring they understand modern solutions like React and headless setups, so you avoid that crippling technical debt.
You demand real references to verify their communication.
You lock down itemized contracts that protect your intellectual property. And finally, you de-risk the ultimate decision by running a pilot project.
This raises an important question when you step back and look at this entire framework.
Mm-hmm.
It really drives home the reality of the modern web.
Which is?
A successful website is never actually finished. It is not a static brochure that you print once and just leave on a counter.
It's a living ecosystem.
Exactly. It's an evolving digital ecosystem that requires continuous optimization, security patching, and scaling. The vetting process we've discussed is rigorous because you aren't just hiring a contractor to do a one-off job. You are trying to find a digital partner you can trust to maintain that ecosystem.
So what does the digital evolution of your business look like 5 or 10 years from now? The digital foundation you lay today will either accelerate that growth or become a massive technical bottleneck holding you back.
It's a critical choice.
As you evaluate these agencies today, ask yourself, is the team sitting across the table capable of growing and evolving into the team you'll need tomorrow, or will they hold you back when it's time to scale? Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We hope these insights help you build that blueprint and navigate your next big business move with absolute clarity and confidence.